And on today's Windy City Queercast, what do the Canadians think of us gays here in the United States after Proposition 8 passed? Deb Pierce on the show, and not only are we talking about that, but Wanda Sykes, she came out. Was she ever in? Richard Knight Jr. is coming to us with his movie review of the new James Bond film. And OutAdventures.com, it's a new site and a new company that wants to help you explore your GLBT dreams of travel in a way that, oh, has it inspired me. I want to go around the world in probably more than 60 days.
Windy City Queercast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
Windy City Queercast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Deb Pierce.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This Queercast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming.
American Airlines. Offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And by Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
Queercast, show number 263. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Deb Pierce.
And we haven't talked to you. We have a new presidente.
Yes, thank the Lord. You finally got it right, the US of A. You finally got it right.
What was the energy like in Toronto?
Phenomenal. Exceptional. Canada was the right thing to do. You guys did the right thing. If I hear one more speech saying, yes, we can, though, I've got to poke someone in the eye. I've got to tell you. Everyone is. Last night I did my open mic night. I was talking about people getting up on stage, and I'm like, do you think we can do it? The whole crowd, yes, we can. I'm like, oh my God, this is really something else.
Yeah.
But it is great. Congratulations to you guys for finally getting it right. It's the most progressive step you guys have taken in years and years and years.
Yeah, in decades.
Yeah.
It's quite an amazing thing. And I'm so super sad that you weren't in Chicago for all of the energy.
But I felt, you know, the media coverage, as slanted as it can be at times, I felt like I was there. I was, of course, glued like every probably Canadian and American and everyone in the world was watching newscasts, including CNN. And boy, the coverage was so phenomenal. You could feel it. You could hear it. The amount of people from every walk of life that was interviewed was overwhelmed.
Yeah,
because I think there was a part of us all, and I say us because, you know, Toronto's just bordering you to the north. Every part of the world, I think everyone thought, if it seems too good to be true, maybe it won't. And we weren't surprised when he got in, but elated, you know, and an exhale worldwide. This is the new regime. This is this is a brand new day. And it was phenomenal.
Well, and at the same time, obviously, a lot of the conversation in the GLBT community has been the bittersweet impact of what happened in California with Proposition 8. Of course, California getting all of the tension just because we think they know better, potentially, than Florida and what happened in Arizona and Arkansas. But, you know, there are a lot of the last podcast was all about the protests and rallies, many of which became marches. All around the U.S. Last weekend. And now we're seeing a number of boycotts, and I have not seen this kind of mobilized, energized, energy. I mean, just something is vital, pulsing through the GLBT community right now. And, yes. And you know, we're calling people on their stance in all the businesses.
I mean, there hasn't been, we've been marching for rights and equality since Stonewall in 1969. Now, I think what's interesting is we've marched for our causes, we've been there for our brothers and sisters in the HIV/AIDS movement, and then, of course, the progression of equal rights to same-sex unions or same-sex marriage. I can't believe that you know, the U.S. of A. has not followed suit, like Canada being the fourth country to legalize same-sex marriage, but nevertheless, the entire country hasn't been. And how outrageous is that on the same day, on the same token, that you guys get it right and you're so progressive, which, you know, I'm colorblind, you're colorblind, I'm sure, you don't see Obama being that way, you know, being a man of color, but they get it right that way, and yet we just... It's like homophobia and transphobia are the two last forms of accepted discrimination, and it's not okay.
Yeah, I mean, the cover of The Advocate for this month, Is Gay the New Black, I think is truly something that I have noticed that has been going on for years, and an author that I very much love, the Reverend Peter Gomes, you know, structured his entire book, The Good Book, about the Bible and women, the Bible and our Jewish brothers and sisters, the Bible and blacks. And, you know, his chapter on, you know, is basically that gays are the final frontier for the church.
Right.
And we seem to be having such a hard time to separate church and state in our country.
Well, the thing in which
it was founded on.
Right.
But this is still why this is the final frontier for us, I think.
Which is so subjective, because people take bits and pieces of the Bible, and these, you know, these Christian zealots and these Christian people that you know, love thy neighbor and be, well, there are so many, but if they're gay or if they're trans or if they're, but there's so many ifs, ands, or buts that are qualifiers for the, you know, for Christians. It just doesn't seem acceptable anymore to hide behind a Bible to use as an accepted form of homophobia and a lack of progression.
Well, you know, and it's interesting, because with these boycotts, I urge people that if you're hearing other things or companies that are being boycotted, to let us know on our website at WindyCityQueerCast.com, because the one that went around really aggressively at an interesting time, when we actually have some queer films coming out, with Milk coming out very soon, and
yes,
many
on
of
World
the boys,
Day.
Yeah, yep. And many of the boys find that lovely Daniel Craig and the whole Bond series to be fairly queer. But and we are going to be having a review of Quantum of Solace on the show today. But it's interesting, they have boycotted now the Cinemark Corporation, because their chairman reportedly gave around $10,000 to protectmarriage.com, Yes on 8. And so that is all the Century, Cine Arts, and Tinseltown theater chains, and they are in Chicago. It's actually where I usually go to the movies. It's my movie theater of choice. Cincinnati, Ohio, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Las Vegas, Nevada, Los Angeles, California, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Phoenix, Arizona, Seattle, Washington, and Washington, D.C. These are some major centers for GLBT community.
Right.
We've listed almost every one except New York City and San Francisco. So, you know, I'm wondering if there are other boycotts that we are going to see, because if we don't hold people to
accountable,
the power of our dollars and making their business politicized or exclusionary, then that's where our weight is how we spend our money, I think, right now.
Well, and that's where it is. I mean, there's a Facebook group. I hate to say the F word in front of you.
It's okay.
But are you coming to accept the Facebook?
No.
No.
That'll
right.
happen in this year, though.
Okay.
Yes, I can. I'm sure it
oh,
will happen.
Oh, my God. You had to, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Yes, I did. There is a Facebook group that's starting, and I've seen this before, but what would a day be like, a day without gays? And it'll show the contribution that we have to society. What if we all pulled out early? What if we didn't go to work? What if it was a day without gays? How would the world change? What is our contribution, and how are we seen and viewed as viable, productive members of society?
Well, Proud FM wouldn't air.
No,
and
we
Windy
wouldn't.
City Times wouldn't publish. I mean,
that's true.
So those of us who work in the gay community, I did see that today. I got an email about everybody not going to work on December 10th.
Mm-hmm.
Is the day, at least what I saw,
mm-hmm.
That they're having like a don't go to work day.
Right. I mean, I can't imagine. I couldn't do that, but I would support somebody that wants to. I don't know that that's the approach. I just think, just get it right. Get it right all around. What is so disconcerting about the fact that a loving couple wants to become married? Why? Explain to me. Why can't anybody explain to me what's wrong with that?
Well, and they can't. And I've watched countless of, you know, advocates and adversaries on these various news channels, and I've never heard an adversary be able to eloquently say who I choose to love affects them in any way, shape, or form.
Right. Right.
And I really encourage people to go to our blog and look at the Keith Olbermann video or editorial that he did, if you've not seen it, because to me it's kind of a wonderful allied response.
Right.
You know, to the whole thing. Well, you know, it wasn't all doom and gloom this past week because hundreds of, and thousands probably by now, of Connecticut folks, Connecticut queers.
I love that. Yay!
Have walked up to the altar and said, I do. Same-sex marriage now legal in Massachusetts and Connecticut. So New England really getting it right. New England entirely went blue and entirely for Obama. New England entirely getting it right with gay marriage so far.
It's funny how you have to do it, because ours is nationwide. It's funny how the states have to do it state by state by state.
Right. Well, that's for right now. That's how they have to do it until we have some sort of federal marriage act or a federal statement of knocking down states' rights to.
And I'm not sure why. The opposition may be because all of a sudden people like you took the time out of your life to march for your equal rights on Saturday. How empowering is that? But how sad that you had to do that. You know, the placard holding, the hey, hey, ho, ho, homophobia's got to go.
Yes, you texted me in the middle of the march. I was literally
in
the middle of Michigan Avenue with my friend Bonnie, her partner Becca, and their 10-month-old Zora, who I was holding and handed her off when you texted me.
Aww.
So, I mean, you know, it was a very powerful, powerful day.
Yeah, those kind of marches often are, yeah.
Yeah, but I've never been a part of anything that big.
Oh, no.
Much of a wave. I mean, a gay pride parade is bigger, but it's...
But that's not political
anymore.
Just as celebratory and capitalizing on the, you know, beer companies, which I'll take, believe me.
Yes.
But you know, but it's interesting because it's sad that we have to do it. It's amazing for our community to say, hey, listen, we can't just sit back anymore. We need this. And are people scared that we're all actually going to go out and get married? Because I'll tell you, I fought. And I held the placards, and I marched, and I, you know, I did the rhymey, lyric-y, yelling thing. It's not because I wanted to get married. I wanted to be able to get married. So is everybody there worried that everyone is going to go out and then people aren't going to, you know, procreate, man, woman? I don't know what the problem is. Maybe people, I don't think anyone's taking the time to ask any questions. They're just like, nope, it's not right.
Yeah.
Same sex shouldn't happen.
Well, and when this moment happened, we saw some people coming out of the closet, or one person in particular, which was comedian Wanda Sykes came out of the closet.
Yep.
So,
and you know what? I heard a newscast about Wanda Sykes, and some newscaster not on Proud FM said, and recently Wanda Sykes confessed to being gay, and I thought, wow, that's not how we use it. We word it as coming out because... Huh. It's a moment of empowerment. It's not a confession.
Right.
You know, I get it. I confess. It's not your hands aren't up in the air and you're guilty of something. That's a confession.
Right.
Yeah.
That's an interesting way, though. I've never heard somebody. It's almost like you were backed into a corner.
That's right. I confess. I did it. I sleep with women.
Yeah. And it sounds like to me she found a soapbox and decided to stand on it.
Well, you know what? The universe picks different moments for different times, and Wanda Sykes, I actually didn't care if she was gay or not, but I didn't know she was gay.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that I know that she is now, because there's a solidarity in that. There's a strength in that. And if she feels like a black lesbian, if she can come out in Middle America or Western America, the West Coast, then good on you. Go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure for African-American GLBT people, that hit home harder than than most. Mm-hmm. And I think that was really, really powerful. I haven't seen it get a lot of coverage, her coming out, but I think it is truly a time right now that a lot of less vocal, let's not say closeted, because I don't think she felt she lived really a closeted life.
But no, and who knows really what people do when they're celebrities in their own time.
Yeah, but you it's know? Definitely if, yeah. a time for people to come out. I mean, I feel this is the moment. I mean, significant moment. So we're not terrified. I mean, can you imagine if Ellen DeGeneres wasn't out right now? I mean, obviously, she probably wouldn't be in the position that she's in, and she wouldn't have this talk show. I mean, I think that liberated her, but it has been nice to have her on the television every day, having a human response to what's been going on politically. And
absolutely, and she has such a mass appeal. And I mean, my radio show at Proud FM, I kind of model the way I behave on the air after her, because I respect her so much, and I respected her more when she came out publicly and on her show and broke that ground. But I do have concerns about, and I won't mention them because I don't have to play dirty pool, but I do have concerns around actors that I feel, and this is, you know, I don't know if you and I have talked about this before, you may disagree, but I feel like it's almost a responsibility to share with the world, you like me, there's a mass appeal, P.S., I'm gay.
Yeah,
I think knowing that you're proud enough to be able to do that, and you're not going to let that affect the fact that you may not get cast in the next straight identified role, is I don't want to say cowardly, but I feel like people should be just proud. And I live in Canada, so maybe that's a different headspace. But
yeah, I think it's a huge issue for many of them. It depends on where they are. But you know, Anderson Cooper's not going to get fired.
No, he's not.
You know, Jodie Foster's still going to get projects. She doesn't play romantic leads anyhow.
And wasn't it weird when she did?
Yes.
With Mel Gibson. It was uncomfortable for everybody.
I just had an uncomfortable Summersby moment in my gown. and a bad long brown wig that made me uncomfortable. Felt
exactly.
A little icky. You know, and I mean, those are two, obviously, that The Advocate put on the front pages. But I think there are more and more athletes, actors, just people who are role models, singers, even showing bisexuality, I think would be important, a history of having, and it needs to be some men. I mean, I think the women are taking the heft right now. And, and thank God for T.R. Knight and Doogie Howser. I can't remember his name right now. Just drew a blank.
Yeah, him,
Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
And some of those guys, but you know, it's at times they are changing. It is inevitable. It is changing. It's changing rapidly, and we just need to keep pushing forward, because those that oppose us are terrified. And and I heard a great quote actually from Lucy Lawless when she was protesting in L.A. and she talked about this Chinese proverb that said, you know, you should fear the wall builders. You know, and don't fear the walls. And that's not fear, but that's the challenge. The challenge are those building walls, not the walls themselves. So, you know, we have to just challenge ourselves with those people trying to build walls, because the walls will come down. They will. Or the people will stop working on them and building them if we bring them over to our side. So,
well, I think what's interesting is that in 2008, this same-sex marriage fight and the coming out and being public about who you sleep with, it's more, I mean, it's obviously sexuality is more than just that. It's about intimacy and everything. But I think in the 80s, we fought for, I mean, we were just trying to get books across the border from the United States into Canada. We were doing women's rights. We were doing HIV/AIDS stigma work. That was the 80s and 90s. And now for the kids, and I can say this because I'm almost 40, the kids that are, you know, in their late teens and their 20s and even their early 30s, this is something that I think is really a rite of passage for our community, to know that things have never ever just been handed to us because we have fought for every right, equal right, that we've ever had. And I think it's really important for these teenagers and people in their 20s to learn that the fight is not over. You can't just sit back and say, what was Stonewall again?
Right.
Who was this person? You know what I mean? And Sean Penn.
Who was Judy Garland?
That's what I was just saying in my head. Or Harvey Milk, or any of these incredible warriors that have had the, you know, had the strength, and I give it that, most certainly, had the strength and foresight to say, yes, I am. I had to do it.
You
did. I had
to
say, yes, I am.
Let us tell you what else is going on in the news. Also, our review with Richard Knight Jr. of Quantum of Solace, the new James Bond film. And I'll be back with Deb because we're going to go adventuring with OutAdventures.com. They're a Canadian-based company right out of Toronto in Deb's backyard, but they want to take you around the world. And, oh, do I want to go. So much adventure on the way.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
While lesser men strapped on skates and played hockey, you don skin-tight leotards and a teeny cowboy hat and learn figure eights.
Going round and round.
You practiced and practiced. Hoping, knowing, someday, you'd be good enough to wear a giant puppet costume and skate in an ice show.
Welcome to the big time.
Skate perfectly and you're a crowd pleaser. Mess up and fall on your butt and you're still a crowd pleaser.
Oh!
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh Titan of the Tights. You may never wear a medal, but sequins are shiny too.
Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
Light beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. Many same-sex marriage advocates have been targeting Mormons during rallies and marches protesting the passage of Proposition 8. The Church of the Latter-day Saints played a pivotal role in its passage. Mormons started plotting a game plan to fight against the legalization of gay marriage a decade ago. A Salt Lake City TV station obtained internal church documents that show that the Church of Latter-day Saints started planning to fight same-sex marriage 10 years ago.
Investigators are looking into whether or not a North Carolina man's home was set on fire because he is gay. Arsonists set a Newton man's home on fire while he was at work. Firefighters and investigators found anti-gay slurs spray painted on the back of the home. An investigation into the cause of the fire is still underway. Unfortunately, North Carolina does not have a hate crime law in its books that includes LGBT people, so if a suspect is caught for the blaze, they will only be charged with arson.
A small Oregon city elected the nation's first transgendered mayor. Voters in Silverton, a small city almost 50 miles outside of Portland, elected Stu Rasmussen. Rasmussen unseated incumbent Ken Hector. The new mayor-elect served as mayor of Silverton for two terms in the past, but that was before Rasmussen started transitioning. Rasmussen, who has breast implants and dresses as a woman, identifies as a heterosexual male who appears to be female.
A new report shows the latest trend is for countries to criminalize the spread of HIV. More and more countries hoping to slow the spread of the disease are making spreading HIV a crime. Health officials, however, fear that this trend will actually create an increase in the number of new infections worldwide and undermine any gains made over the years in combating the disease. One AIDS expert said that such laws could actually, quote, set us back and do incredible damage, end quote.
A Wisconsin gay arts group is making a federal case over the temporary shutdown of the musical review Naked Boys Singing. 3 years ago, Milwaukee officials forced the Milwaukee Gay Arts Center to halt performances of Naked Boys Singing while it reviewed the group's theater permit application. With the help of the ACLU, the arts group is now suing the city of Milwaukee in federal court for violating its right to free speech.
And in Harper's Bazaar magazine, actress Lindsay Lohan, who recently publicly acknowledged her romantic relationship with Samantha Ronson, opened up a little more about her sexuality. Lohan said that she is maybe bisexual, but added that she doesn't want to be defined. "I don't want to classify myself," she said. "I appreciate people and it doesn't matter who they are, and I feel blessed to be able to feel comfortable enough with myself that I can say that."
And that's the Weekend News brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hello, you interactive theatrical types. This is Dick O'Day inviting you to celebrate the holidays this year with two wacky shows for the price of one. Join me at 3 p.m. on Sunday afternoons at the Royal George Theater from November 16th through December 21st for a mini holiday-themed version of my Dick O'Day's Big Lovely Bingo theatrical game show. After bingo, stick around for Sunday School Cinema, the hilarious hit comedy in which Sister reviews movies from her nonsensical perspective and lets you know which ones are good, bad, and condemned. That's Sundays at 3 p.m. at the Royal George Theater at 1641 North Halsted from November 16th through December 21st. Phone 312-988-9000 or visit dickoday.com or nunsforfun.com. And that's a four with like the number four. Okay, you got it. I'm Richard Knight Jr. with another Night at the Movies Minute. Bond, in the spectacular form of Daniel Craig, is back, and if there was little chance of restraining the hothead Secret Service agent in his first go-round in Casino Royale, this time there's none at all. The film, Quantum of Solace, opens with a 20-minute action chase that is happening literally just after the previous film ended. Agent 007 is out to find the killer of his paramour, Vesper, who was drowned in Venice at the conclusion of the previous edition, and nothing, especially Judi Dench as his severe schoolmarm of a boss, is going to stand in his way. Unlike the lengthy card playing sequence that hobbled the previous effort, which introduced Craig as the sexiest secret agent on Earth, Quantum of Solace, like its star, hasn't got so much as an ounce of fat on it. It starts out of the gate and pretty much spins around the globe until its slam-bang finish. The movie has sequences in Haiti, Austria, Italy, and Bolivia. Those are the ones I counted. But the action sequences are driven by the cool, barely contained rage that Craig expertly plays and are very convincing. And one, set against the backdrop of a gorgeous production of Tosca, is mesmerizing. Quantum harkens back to the earlier films by giving Bond a terrifically rotten nemesis, a really evil villain, played by, Mathieu Amalric. I can't say. It's a French guy. You know, the Roman Polanski dead ringer who starred in The Diving Bell and The Butterfly. This rotter even has a young lady dipped in oil in a nod to Goldfinger at one point. There are also a bevy of beautiful Bond girls on hand. One is Strawberry Field. Oh, okay. All the better for Daniel Craig to bed them. Though, disappointingly, we don't get to see him walk out of the scene in a bikini. Ugh, I was very disappointed. You can hear it in my voice. The whole thing revolves around an evil cartel's attempt to gain control over one of Earth's most precious natural resources, but that's beside the point. Who cares? Quantum of Solace is in the vein of classic Bonds. Plenty of action, just enough bedroom action, and a smattering of witty retorts to keep things crackling. Perhaps the only incomprehensible thing about this smartly directed action picture, it was helmed by Mark Forster, is that head-scratcher of a title. What does it mean? I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute. Or should I say Mega Minute?
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at WindyCityQueerCast.com.
Hello, this is Mary Testa.
And Jackie Hoffman.
From the Broadway musical smash Xanadu. And we have something very important we need to talk to you about.
Happiness.
Speak the truth, Sister Jackie.
Are you content with your life? Are you frustrated? Do you come home at the end of the day and go, what the hell was that about?
If so, and we think you might, then you could use a laugh.
A good one, or two.
Or a bazillion, and we know just where you can get them.
At Xanadu.
Please, people, it's the biggest surprise hit in Broadway history, with an adorable love story, fabulous songs, inspired hilarity, all wrapped up in a sweet 90 minutes.
I love that part. You're home in time for Top Chef.
Oh, and if you think we're that crappy 80s movie, think again.
Please, the critics are gaga for this thing. The New Yorker actually called us ridiculously brilliant. I do not lie.
So it's not like we're therapists or anything, but if you want to get happy, you could take pills, or you could come and see Xanadu.
For tickets to Xanadu, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of November 17th, 2008, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Haram Iran is a controversial and mind-blowing play by J. Paul Derrotany, based on the true story of two Arabic boys accused of homosexual sins. Haram Iran is playing through December 9th at the Athenaeum Theater, only $20. 25% of the profits are donated to charities preventing human rights abuses in Iran. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com. This show contains nudity, violence, and strong political content.
Remy Bumpo Theater Company presents The Marriage of Figaro, now playing through January 4th at the Greenhouse Theater Center. Before Mozart's opera, there was the play by Beaumarchais. Take a risque look at what's underneath the music. Don't miss The Marriage of Figaro and a new adaptation by Ranjit Bolt. For more information, visit remybumpo.org.
Meet Edith and Little Edie Beale, Jackie O's most scandalous relatives, in the Tony Award-winning smash hit musical, Grey Gardens, starring Hollis Resnick. This fall's most anticipated production follows the pair's fall from high society into the squalor of their infamous East Hampton home. Grey Gardens is playing through December 28th. For more, visit northlight.org.
Don't miss the hilarious comedy Don't Dress for Dinner, starring Burn Notice hunky star Jeffrey Donovan and Patricia Callenber, formerly of TV Sisters. Playing now at the Royal George Theater. For tickets to Don't Dress for Dinner, go online at don'tdressfordinner.com.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Deb, where do you want to travel? Do you have
been
a key?
Around the world and I would like to do Australia.
You just sang a little Lisa Stansfield, and
boy,
that is why I love you.
Thank you.
So,
yeah, I would like to go to Australia. I feel very drawn to that. I feel like maybe in a past life I was killed by a shark in Australia, but that's a story for another day.
Really?
Somewhere warm, somewhere tropical, and somewhere that is so far removed from what resembles my life in my backyard.
Maybe
so
you're
Australia
an Aborigine.
Be
maybe
what?
Maybe you're an Aborigine and you
I
blew
could be.
A didgeridoo.
I could.
I just wanted to say didgeridoo. I don't think I've ever said didgeridoo in all of my years of radio.
And you just said it thrice.
Wow.
Nice one.
Yeah.
Now spell it. No, don't. So that's where I would like to go. And in Africa, my partner wants to go and do AIDS work. She's becoming a nurse, and she wants to do AIDS work. So I think that I could do some safari while she's, making people feel better, more comfortable. Where would you like to go?
Oh, just anywhere. I just want to see the world. I am so in the mode of my life that I am tired of waiting to see the world.
Yeah.
I'm tired from I'm not tired. I refuse to use the excuse anymore that I'm waiting for some part of my life to stop before I go.
Right.
And I want to go. And so I was so excited when I heard about this company, Out Adventures. And their website is out-adventures.com. And I don't always think about specific GLBT travel, but in looking at traveling the world, I think it would be fantastic to go with people, other GLBT people guiding you who have been, who can make that experience, queer in the ways that it could be and also make you feel safe and protected. And
I think it's really important for that safety and protection. Like, I will never go to Jamaica in the climate that it is.
No.
Because of all the murders of Bapi Man and all the, all the homophobia there.
I did that last year and I got thrashed over the coals from some people on the Queercast, and I hear them. It was a free gift and somebody invited me to join them, so I just went. But
of course. Yeah, no, and I mean, of course, it's nothing about Jamaica or people that you've met are friends of ours from Jamaica, but the climate of that country is not progressive. So if you can sign up with like out-adventures.com and go somewhere that you know is safe, and you're giving your gay dollars, if that's how you view your money, to a company that supports you as much as you support them or a country that does, then why not go on a guided tour?
Well, and it's so amazing because, as you said, I mean, I have always wanted to tour Eastern countries. I'd love to go to China. I'd love to go to Japan. I would love to go to Africa. I would love to go to Ireland. Because I have ancestry there in Scotland. There are just so many. I would love to go to New Zealand. There are so many places that I would like to visit. And I would go to Australia with you. We could go down under. without that sounding without that sounding dirty.
I hope so.
But you know, and as evidenced by every shot I've seen of Nicole Kidman in the movie Australia, you can get Botox down there too. So it'll be good for me in my 40s to go down to Australia. You can get it on the outback. I'm sure it grows on trees, and you just kind of rub against the tree bark. But I think this is an amazing time for all of us. You know, many people might be thinking of cutting back on travel, but as we, as evidenced in the States, at least even after 9/11, when the country is in fear, I think gay people almost live more fully and traveled more than straight people after 9/11. And I think in this climate that we're in now, it's the opportunity to be mindful, but also kind of carpe diem, seize the day and seize the riches of the world. And
well, people, I mean, I don't think, because you obviously have all kinds of listeners to Windy City Queercast, and so does Proud FM. People don't think, if you're a straight identified person and you're listening to this right now, you may not have taken the moment to think, when we go on holiday, I have sometimes, against, you know, the lump that it puts in my throat, I have sometimes had to just call my partner, my friend. Or in some cases, people will say, are you sisters? And I'll just pick my battle and say, yes, you know, because of the double entendre of the sisters.
Right.
But, you know, you don't think of, people don't think of it unless you're in that position where it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for women that look like, you know, some of the women that I've been with, you know, the not the long-haired whatever. You see two short-haired women traveling together. That can pose physical danger.
Right.
And has. So this Out Adventures is an amazing entrepreneurial, you know, that's a great business.
Well, and go check out the website because it will whisk you away. I'm very happy that I had time to sit down with Robert Sharp. He is one of the founders of Out Adventures. And sit with him and talk with him about GLBT travel, what is unique about how we travel, what we should be considering, and what some of the amazing things that we might want to see in the world with one another.
But I'll find it somewhere, somehow. I've got to let him know how much I care. I'll never give up looking for my baby.
How and why do GLBT people travel? And do the reasons we travel differ from heterosexuals when planning our trips? Well, Robert Sharp and his partner Stephen Larkin took their passion for travel and now help other GLBT people have an amazing and unique experience in travel with their company Out-Adventures. Out Adventures. It's very exciting. We got them all linked on our website because as soon as I heard about this company, I thought, these are the guys that my next few years of travel, they could shepherd me through it all. So I'm thrilled to have the co-founder of Out Adventures, Inc. with me, Robert. Hey, Robert, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks.
I have to say, we're calling you in Canada, and I had my first trip to Toronto a year ago, about right now, and I love your country. It's so beautiful, and it's so convenient for those of us in Chicago and the northern part of the States.
Oh, thank you. I very much love Chicago as well, and glad you can make it up here to Canada. Toronto's a fantastic city with a lot to offer the GLBT community.
Yeah, it's just great, and I'm from the Southeast, and so it reminded me so much of you know, where I'm from, and just gorgeous. When did your passion for travel ignite?
Oh, gosh, when I was a kid, really. I mean, I did a lot of travel through the U.S. with my family as a kid, and as I grew up, it really blossomed into this thirst for international travel. And my partner, Stephen, and I, we've been really, really fortunate to travel around the world. We both very proudly tell people that we've traveled to all seven continents. So,
wow.
I mean, it's just the more and more you travel, the more and more you want to travel. And, you know, some people might think that, you know, as you visit and tick off those places on your travel wish list that your list will get shorter, but it doesn't. It gets bigger and bigger every time you tick off a box.
Now, did you share that in common when you all met, or did you meet traveling?
We met sort of traveling. I was visiting Toronto, and we both shared a passion for traveling and really just took it to the next level. And we were lucky. Stephen was with a mainstream adventure tour operator at the time, so we've really had a chance to explore the world from an adventure and from a grassroots level, which really was our motivation behind creating Out Adventures.
Yeah. So talk to me about, you know, the company is even called Out Adventure, and I would think that, you know, there are many of us in the GLBT community who think we're adventurous and, you know, we're maybe more expansive people than our straight friends are kind of spiritually and politically and psychologically, I guess. But I would also think there would be the inverse of that, which is as GLBT people, there's a bit of fear of going to unknown places. Are those some of the key considerations for GLBT people when they're considering travel that might be different from straight people?
Yeah, you know, Amy, I think that is really, really the case. And this is where we are really trying to provide that opportunity for people to engage in cultures and areas that they probably wouldn't visit on their own, whether it's, you know, a lack of the local language or just that fear of entering the unknown. And I think this is where a lot of LGBT people really rely on tour operators who specialize in what they do to get those people to these new communities to experience new cultures in kind of not really a closed environment, but an assisted environment that just makes it easier so you can sit back and really engage with the community rather than having to take care of all of the nitty-gritty details that usually scare people away.
Well, and for me, it's just about time. What do you say to people who go, I just procrastinate. I'm like, I'll travel one day, but I'm so busy right now.
Ooh, I would say that. That scares me, and the reason I say that is there are so many really amazing places in the world, and I mean political landscapes are constantly changing, and you know, somewhere that would be fantastic and amazing to visit today, you never know what will happen 2 years from now. And and I mean, with all the political turmoil, I mean, Kenya was a really good example last year that, I mean, Kenya was a hot, hot destination. And there was a little bit of political instability. And all of a sudden, people just were not comfortable traveling to that region. So I would say, really just take that step and take that leap forward. And if you are interested, or if somebody really is interested in visiting a community, but they're a little bit scared to, engage with tour operators out there or, you know, a local travel agent to help you plan that journey. And don't wait, because you really never know what can happen in these areas around the world.
Well, so tell me then, and then I'm going to have you fulfill fantasies for me and tell me where I should go, because I have not traveled outside of the United States very much at all. And it's shocking to most people who meet me, because I'm kind of an out and about in the world type person, but I guess it's my little limited world. But let's talk about tell me how and why you started Out Adventures. I mean, obviously you love to travel, you and your partner both love to travel, and you saw the need and thought, do what we're passionate about?
Yeah, you know, it really is our passion. And for the most part, we've done it all. We've done gay cruises, and they can be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We've done small group mainstream tours. We've done independent travel. We've done straight cruises. And I guess we would always come home feeling like, you know, it was a great vacation, but something was missing. And our best experiences really came from small group travel. And by small group, I'm saying generally under 15 passengers to a group. Mm-hmm. And it really just gives you the opportunity to really engage with local cultures and people without having, you know, a big coach bus tour, which there's nothing wrong with, but for our style of travel, there really just wasn't an operator out there that offered a global offering of product, mm-hmm. first and foremost. But then nowadays, I mean, it's really hard to find good value for your dollar when it comes to international travel and group tours. So we really wanted to come into the market offering not a luxury product, because there are companies out there that offer luxury products, and they're really good at what they do. So we really wanted to come in and offer something that was a little more within reach, mm-hmm. to a lot more people out there that are just waiting to take that next step.
So you divide your trips or your travel into categories. You have five of them. What are those, and what's the difference between them? If you can tell us just kind of a little bit of the flavor of each.
Yeah, sure. We have five trip styles, what we call them, and the first would be active. And active, exactly what it sounds like, they're about 60-70% physical activity, whether that's hiking, biking, rafting, all of those types of activities. And generally, they travel to more rural areas, so the accommodation sometimes can be multi-share, meaning it might be a homestay and the group stays in a common room, they have common facilities, but that might just be part of the trip, where other parts of the trip they do have private facilities, etc. And then moving along, we have family trips, and we are really, really excited about this particular trip style. We're offering these trips to LGBT parents with children above the age of 6. So really, I mean, our vacations is out there, and they're doing a really good job with what they're doing. And we wanted to come in, again, from a small group perspective and more of a cultural experience, and nobody out there is offering a good mix of products for gay and lesbian families with children.
Yeah.
So we're really excited about this trip style. And generally, it's a little bit different. Traveling, bus journeys or flights might not be as long. They generally stay at hotels for 2 to 3 nights rather than, you know, quick stops here and there. And then we would move up to our trip style called comfort. And this is what the bulk of our product falls into. Which means generally you're looking at about a 3 to 3.5 star experience when it comes to accommodation and, for the most part, private transportation. But that being said, we always throw some sort of interesting transportation into our trips, whether it's
animal, whether vegetable, or mineral, I'm hearing, I think.
And anything that moves. Some of our trips have elephant rides, some have camel rides, some include overnight train rides. So we like to spice it up and again, get our groups engaged with local communities. And that's really what it comes down to. But by keeping in that 3 to 3.5 star range, we're still keeping the trips very affordable.
Yeah.
So then moving up from there, we offer a style called in style. So we have 4 different trips with about 15 departures for the in style trips. And this would be your 4 to 5 star experience, but we're still trying as hard as we can to include that real experience with local cultures, really to just keep to our core values as a company.
Mm-hmm.
And then moving on from there, we have independent travel. So this would be for people that want to travel assisted, but they don't want to travel with a group. So we would take care of all of the nitty-gritty details, accommodation, transportation, transfers for the most part, day guides for local heritage sites, that type of thing. And we also offer independent trips as add-ons to our group departures. So, for example, we have a really fantastic trip in northern Thailand But you can't go to Thailand without having a beach holiday. Mm-hmm. So spend 10 days on our group departure in northern Thailand, and you can either start or finish that trip with a four-day beach break in either Phuket or Koh Samui. So it really just, it's adding that flexibility to the product as well.
So you talk about your core, kind of the core of your company, and one of the things I know, and it's obviously something that is quite the buzzword these days, but your company is green and tries to take that into consideration. What does that mean when you're talking about travel today, and how would that impact your trips?
It's funny you ask. I just wrote an article about sustainable travel for a magazine out west, and it means so many different things depending who you're talking to. And I mean, this is really the core of our company, and the core of what we're doing is really taking care of the planet that we're living in without being overwhelming. So I mean, we're green from our office, from mm-hmm. the paper we use, to the paper we print our brochures on, to the power we use. So we're responsible in that aspect as well. About 15% of our trips for 2009 will be carbon offset.
And
a lot of people don't really understand how the whole carbon offsetting works. So what we're doing is basically each trip is responsible for a certain amount of carbon that is being emitted into the atmosphere, whether it's from the small buses we use or the hotels that we're staying in. Mm-hmm. This is all contributing to that carbon going into our atmosphere. So we, with our partner Intrepid Travel, have done audits on these trips, and we're offsetting all of that carbon that's going into the atmosphere by funding, for the most part, local projects in the countries that we operate that might help factories reduce the amount of carbon they emit into the atmosphere, or, you know, helping a local community to provide clean power to their community rather than traditional, you know, coal-burning power facilities that are a big contributor to air pollution. So we're really focusing on that, and by 2010, we have a goal that every single one of our trips will be carbon neutral.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's really a feel-good kind of experience, and that's really a part of our core values, is to have fun, is to engage in the local communities and get to know the local cultures so that we really understand how people live in other parts of the world, and to do that in a responsible manner. So we're leaving as little of a footprint behind as possible. We want our kids, hopefully our kids and their kids, to be able to go to these same places and experience their culture for what it is, and not go back and experience a polluted environment or an environment that has been heavily influenced by the outside world.
So do you feel like the travel industry in general, and also Out Adventures, is friendly for singles or for couples?
I do. I absolutely do. Well, definitely Out Adventures, and I think in the travel market, it really depends on the area of the travel market. I mean, we try our best to accommodate single travelers. For the most part, our trips are priced on a double occupancy. So what we will do is we'll partner up any single travelers with a partner of the same sex to share accommodation at no additional cost. And if they choose that they would rather not be put into that situation, they can choose to pay usually a small surcharge for a single supplement, which would guarantee them a single room while they travel. And you know what? If there's always a possibility that if they are the only single traveler booked on a trip, that they would receive single accommodation at no additional charge.
Right. So talk to me. Now's the seduction part, Robert. We're gonna see what kind of seducer you are. But what are some of your hidden gems, destinations people should consider that you have traveled to and that you all like to feature trips to without adventures? Because I am into like knowing about some places I wouldn't think of going.
Wow, where do I begin?
Give me, like, your top three. Just three off the bat. That would be very different, but might entice somebody they may not have thought of?
Absolutely. I think one would be Thailand. And although Thailand, you know, everybody hears about Thailand, most people go to Thailand and they go to Phuket or they go to Koh Samui, which are the southern Thailand beach areas. We have a trip called Timeless Thailand, which begins in Bangkok and then heads north. So instead of going south to the beaches, you're going north, where the Thai culture really still remains relatively untouched. So you experience really great night markets in Chiang Mai, which is a bustling city in northern Thailand, really, really special place. The city has fortified walls that remain around the city. It's really a really beautiful place. And we head to an elephant conservation park where we're able to look at a project where elephants are rescued from the jungles in Laos, where they stumble upon landmines and quite frequently get injured. And they're taken to these conservation parks where they're nursed back to health. And many of them have to remain in these conservation areas for the rest of their lives. But it's really contributing to you know, the devastation of Laos in the past, and really a positive experience for everyone involved. So we do that. We go to an area called Sukhothai National Park, which is a UNESCO World Heritage Site, really, really exciting place. A lot of ruins from the past, and we also go to a place called River Kwai, and this is a place known from World War II, and it's not the happiest place on earth, but it really helps understand the history of Thailand a little bit, which is always exciting. And we head back to Bangkok. So this is, oh, and I'm sorry, I forgot the Hmong Hill Tribe village stay. So we visit a traditional Hmong village where we stay in really fantastic accommodation, and they cook us a great traditional meal, and they perform for us traditional dancing, and it's really a great trip.
How many days would that trip be to do all of that? 10,
yeah, that would be a 10-day trip.
Yep, okay.
From Bangkok, and like I said earlier, that can always be followed up by a 4-day beach break in either Phuket or Koh Samui for those people that couldn't possibly go to Thailand without a beach.
Yeah.
So it's really experiencing all that Thailand has to offer, their really rich culture, and Thailand is known as the Land of Smiles, and it really sums up Thailand. It really is the Land of Smiles. People are so happy and so welcoming to foreigners, and we get to go to some really special little communities that don't get a lot of tourists. So when we do visit, they're really excited to see us, and they love interacting with our passengers.
So give me one more teasing tour that you would say, this is a destination I highly recommend that maybe you haven't thought about.
Well, I would have to say South Africa.
Mm.
A lot of people, when they think of Africa, they think of Kenya, Tanzania, and Kenya, Tanzania are fantastic as well. But South Africa offers, it's really a nice balance of everything. And specifically as an LGBT person, I mean, it was a fantastic, well-rounded experience. So yeah.
They have come so far since apartheid. You think that, you know, the U.S. would have, with where we are now post-election on how we in the States seem to view the LGBT community still, it's just amazing how far that South Africa has come.
Yeah, they've really come a long way, and I mean, they definitely still have a long way to go, but it's a really special place. And I mean, they have Kruger National Park, which is one of the largest it's one of the largest protected game reserves in Africa, where you have a chance to see the Big Five, which are basically the Big Five animals that you would want to see on a safari. So we do that. We go to Mozambique, which is known for its absolutely stunning beaches, pristine, untouched beaches. Stay in a tented, permanent luxury tented camp in Mozambique. We visit a traditional Swazi village in Swaziland, which is also quite exciting because this is a village that still lives by their traditional values, and it's quite interesting to go somewhere where there's 26 children all fathered from the same man.
Yes.
Who is known as the king in this area. So they perform for us. We get insight into the way they live. And then we head down to Cape Town, which everybody knows Cape Town. And we've tried to do something a little bit special with some of our South Africa itineraries. Our February 19th departure includes an overnight on March 1st in Cape Town, and it just happens to be Cape Town Pride.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so our group will get to partake in the Cape Town Pride festivities, and then we continue on our journey. We get a taste in wineland in Stellenbosch.
In fantastic wines in South Africa.
And ridiculously affordable. I cannot even begin to explain. And of course, there's opportunities for the beaches, and we go to Table Mountain and Cape Point, which is also very famous. And I mean, I have to say, personally, South Africa has one of the most stunning landscapes I've ever seen, and it just seems to have this sky that never ends. Mm. And I mean, my most special moment from South Africa, and I could talk about this for hours, but I'll try to keep it relatively brief. It wasn't, you know, a lion spotting. It wasn't Cape Point. It wasn't the markets of Cape Town. It was a moment we had in a small place along the coast where we were staying at a hotel. We were having a drink at the bar, and the bartender, this young lady, asked us as a group if we wanted to visit her local village the next day for lunch. Hmm. And we talked to our group leader, and you know, we had time to do it, so we went out to their local village, and they cooked us lunch, and all the women dressed up in their traditional garments, and they danced for us and they sang for us. And the funniest thing for me was the kids in the village all had camera cell phones. So you're taking pictures of them and they're taking pictures of you.
Hilarious.
And it was that aha moment where mm-hmm. you really thought this is really special, and not a lot of people get to experience that part of Africa.
Now, if we go to your website, can people see the full breadth of like what they would do on a trip with you? I mean, some of the pit stops that you would make along the journey and kind of the realities of the cost and what extra they should be thinking of and all
exactly.
of that.
Exactly. So, I mean, every trip and on our main page of our website, you can search by continent, you can search by country. And for people that are referencing an advertisement we might have, you can also reference a trip code. And you'll pull up a trip, and you can look at the brief details of that trip, a basic itinerary, map, some other things about the trip, how many meals are included, the price. And then you can also look at a detailed itinerary, which would take you day by day and explain to you every day what you would be doing. Mm-hmm. And then you can look at live dates and availability for that trip. So it would explain, or it would tell the viewer how many trips we have departing for 2009, when they depart, and how many spaces are left on those trips.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's just an extraordinary thing because, and I hope people will go to our show notes and link through to your site, because it really is a really user-friendly site, and you can go on there, and if there's a certain place you've wanted to go, you can find out about how they would present that area to you. But it also is just fun to go on there and dream and entice yourself to areas you might never have considered. And I think it's just fantastic. I want to have you back and like just do like a country a time. That would be really fun. We can get people traveling all over the place.
I would love that. And I mean, if I could say one thing, it would be, you know, step outside of that box that you're comfortable with to everybody out there is experience something new and really dive into a community and into a culture when you travel, because your experience will be the most amazing thing that somebody's ever experienced when they really engage with a local community.
Well, and you're making it easy for us as GLBT people to do that, feel comfortable in doing that, feel safe, and also showing us things that maybe if we traveled on our own, or we think, hey, we can figure it out ourselves now with the big World Wide Web, you know, we miss things, and you're developing relationships, so it's a really great opportunity. I really encourage everybody, if you're interested in some travel in your upcoming year, and I know that I am, for just to really explore GLBT travel, and check out out-adventures.com. That's out-adventures with an S.com. We'll have them linked on our site, and let Robert and Stephen share their passion with you for travel around the world. Robert, thank you so much for being on the show.
No, thank you so much for having me.
Hey, this is Jennifer Hudson, and you listen to the Windy City Clearcast.
So, Deb, you have big plans for the weekend?
I'm going to be spending time with my godchildren. I've been instructed by their mother to not go overboard, because when I spend time with them, I plan scavenger hunts, and I go out and we go out, you know, we'll do something physical, we'll do something fun to eat, we'll all try to make something together in the kitchen, and then there's a scavenger hunt, and then, of course, a fort being made. I've been told, because I've been working so hard lately, I'm actually really tired for the first time in a long time, but I'm just to sit back and enjoy their company. So we'll see if I can do that.
I'm envisioning, I don't know, people making crowns for you, tying you up in chairs.
Absolutely. Bring it on. I am
makeup
such,
being put on your face.
Yep.
I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if they're boys or girls, but...
They're boys.
Oh, they're boys.
They're
possibly
boys.
Possibly turning you into a Native American,
yeah,
or a cowboy. You're going to have a weekend of trying out all the roles in the Village People.
That's them. And you know what? If I wouldn't have to look very hard in my closet to find almost all of those costumes.
Well, so maybe you could bring a little trunk of treasures over for them to play with, and then just sit back and see how it goes.
That's a good idea.
Clean out your trunk of treasures, though, if you know what I mean, before
I was just going to say, we'll have to PG that one. We'll have to parental guidance that one first. But, yeah, no, it's going to be a good one. What are you doing?
I am introducing my girlfriend to Christine Cagney, a.k.a. Sharon Gless, this weekend.
Wow, I was on Queer as Folk with her.
Were you?
Yes.
I have known Sharon for a while. She's actually going to be on the show next week talking about
Great.
A new film that she's filming here in Chicago. And we are friendly. We used to hang out a bunch when she was here doing some theater many years ago. And we've had an opportunity to be together a few times. I went to see Lily Tomlin with Sharon and then hung out down on the set with her earlier in the week, so that interview
nice.
Is going to air next week. But Kelly has yet to meet Sharon Gless, and if I might say, Kelly is obsessed with Cagney and Lacey and obsessed with Christine Cagney. So this is a...
Rightfully so. Good taste.
Yes, she is going to be, I fear, a bit mute most of the evening, but we are, but we are taking Sharon to go see Dirty Dancing, which is what Sharon wanted to do. So we are... Yeah, I don't know. The whole thing is such a weird quagmire of interesting moments that are going to be happening simultaneously. I'm sure I will have much to say about it with Kelly next week.
And it wouldn't be your life if there wasn't that amount of excitement around it. That's a great night. I can't wait to hear all about it if I was a fly on the wall.
Yeah, well, it's last time I went to... I've already seen Dirty Dancing once, and I discovered that Cynthia Rhodes is alive, the original Penny, because she sat 10 feet from me, for those of you who know that Mitchell Fain falsely reported here on our show that she had died.
Right.
And she is alive.
Very much alive. Much to her chagrin, she had been reported otherwise.
Exactly. So who knows what other possibly dead star I might see there again and revive this weekend. Who knows? But But making a love connection. There's just something sick and wrong about me making a love connection for my girlfriend, but it's happening.
Hey, it's very progressive. It's very 2008.
Very 2008. Yes, I can.
Yes, you can.
Deb Pierce, have a great week. We will talk with you soon. And everyone, I hope you tune in next week. It'll be the holidays. And Kelly's going to be most thankful for meeting one of her idols, but love to hear what you're thankful about. And we'll still have two shows for you over the Thanksgiving week. So we cannot wait. We hope that you'll join us.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This program is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light keeps it coming. Broadway in Chicago. For the hottest tickets in town, visit BroadwayInChicago.com. And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.